Welcome back to Casualty Friday, your home for all of your horror talk. We are your horror life coaches. This is Miss Felissa Rose.
Hi. And Miss Tiffany Chavez.
Oh my God. We are waiting on Mr. Kane Hodder, but I mean, that's kind of par for the course.
We're pretty used to that.
Our weekly catch up, what have you been up to?
Well, that's the thing. Let's be honest. It's not, we're kidding about Kane. It's actually my fault because I've been really sick. No COVID, none of that. I developed, unfortunately, a kidney infection. Ugh. And was bedridden for like 10 days. No food, nothing, like in and out of the hospital, battery of tests. And fortunately, I feel much better now. So we had to delay our Casualty Friday episode because I couldn't do it last week. So my apologies, but I do feel stronger. I feel like I'm 75% better.
Good, good. I mean, that was a scary thing, but still, I still want to blame Kane for things. I'd like to blame Kane for the fact that you probably don't drink enough water. I want to blame Kane for your bad genetic makeup that made you predisposed to kidney infections. Like, I just want to blame Kane Hodder.
It's my first one. Did you ever have one?
Yes, they're terrible. They're terrible. But mine actually, I did stem from being, you know, like 19 years old and moved to LA and all you do is eat like crap and drink way too much. And it's like, oh man, my back hurts. Oh man, I have a fever. Oh shit, I'm at Burbank Hospital. You know?
Were you nauseous? I mean, not to get super gross, but like—
I don't remember. I don't think so. Okay. I think it was just fever and back pain. And it's no joke. Like kidney infections, bladder infections, like all of it is no joke. Like—
No, it's very serious. And I'm glad we're talking about it because the one thing that I do, what's that?
I'm laughing because we are now like the WebMD of our podcast.
WebMD.
Yes.
Madly devious. No, I think zinc is really important in your diet and that I do religiously.
I am going to go against you on the zinc only because I and Mia, my daughter, don't tolerate it. Like I start to feel flush the minute I take it. I start to sweat.
What? Like, you must have some kind of, because it is—
maybe I have like it overactive.
Well, I take Zicam like very religiously because we do fly so much it's probably a personal thing. So please no one like take my advice. But for me personally, it works. And like when you do to have IV fluids flush through you, that is a big part of it. All kinds of vitamins. Certainly I've been living on like electrolyte water and just trying to—
No offense, but the zinc didn't seem to work this time around.
But knock wood, when do you ever see me sick?
That's true. That is true. Yeah.
I think you've known me for like 20 years. I'm not— the one thing, knock wood, everyone says is like, you know, especially for flying a lot and being on sets with thousands of people or whatnot. So anyhow, with this, I'm getting back.
Good. Well, I'm glad because it was a real bummer. But the good news is our guest from last week stuck around. He's just been waiting room since Thursday to do this with you. We've all just been hanging out like, shit, when's Felissa going to be here? When's she going to be here? Unfortunately for Kane Hodder, we're not waiting for him. But we have a funny guest today. Like, and I mean funny, funny. And he's a crazy guest, like as in crazy, crazy.
Kind of like, he's funny, funny. He's crazy.
He's crazy, crazy.
And we
but it's
him.
A guest who sort of proved exactly what we always talk about on the show is that horror people really are sort of like comedians at heart. Like the horror and comedy stuff just goes hand in hand. And I mean, with that, I'm just going to bring him on. With that, we are bringing on a special guest, Mr. Dave Sheridan.
Yay! Woo!
Dave,
that was some intro, Dave Sheridan.
I believe that we are connecting to his audio, and his picture is sideways for those of you who can't see it right now. Dave is in.
Do people see Casualty Friday?
They can. Yeah. Let me explain to you how Casualty Friday works, Felissa. So we are a podcast as well as a YouTube.
Wow.
Dave Sheridan, yes. Are you here?
I am. Can you hear me?
I don't know how that works.
Am I sideways though?
You are sideways. Yeah, you are. I like it. It's a
good, it kind of lends itself to who you are, that zany, you know, interesting, unpredictable kind of a person.
That kind of guy.
Yeah. That kind of guy.
Yeah. Wait, you didn't get to hear my intro about you, but we've talked about it on many of our shows that horror people and the comedy world just sort of go hand in hand, and you have meshed that together like no other.
Wow.
It is kind of awesome.
She and said it's really funny and you're crazy.
Yes. Two of the world's top, compliments. The
two adjectives. I aspire to hear Tiffany say about me someday.
Yeah. I didn't hear you, Felissa.
Yeah.
Exactly. Off screen.
I'm just going to take that.
She says that all the time. Oh my goodness.
Welcome to Casualty Friday, Dave Sheridan. What's going on?
Can we switch your...
Yeah. What do I do?
It doesn't matter. No one watches our YouTube show.
Oh, they don't? Isn't there a way? I think there's a way to do some.
Awesome. Sort of... That's hilarious.
Because she's sideways.
I am?
No. I'm saying like Tiffany is like how I am, but you're normal. You know what I mean? The only way I could do it is if I turn, then it turns.
Okay, so those of you that are listening, unfortunately, I'm so sorry. We are trying to navigate Dave Sheridan's iPhone from turning him sideways on.
I have to say I'm the same way. How many times are you like, Felissa, turn your laptop on or get the audio off?
Yeah, no, my favorite was like you would finally think that you had it correct and you would set yourself up in this area, but like there'd be an odd poster behind you that looked like you had horns or like a strange thing.
What are you gonna do? Yeah, I think that's the spontaneous, exciting, fun, be in the moment kind of a,
I don't know. We've been at this now for a year. You would think the Zoom
a year. We've been doing Casualty Friday for like 3 years.
So back to Dave Sheridan. Welcome to Casualty Friday. Thank you for being here.
Thanks, Dave. Oh,
thank you. Yeah. I'm still trying to figure this out. See, I'm holding my phone now. I had it in a holder. Wait a second. I think I just figured something. I could turn the holder. Because you guys
have to do this. Take your time. I don't have to get
my files. Stop it.
No big deal. This is only going to be our most interesting episode ever.
I need my hands free.
This is why Kate has not joined this episode.
Yeah, because it's a shit show.
Yeah. Did he know? How's that? Is that better? Perfect.
Oh, you look great.
Okay.
So, all right, take three. Dave Sheridan, welcome to Casualty Friday. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, hello, guys. How are you?
Hi, awesome. Dave.
We I'm are
so now. I have one thing, Tiffany. Yes. I think you're the only one. You see down there, it says Special Officer Doofy.
I do.
I think you can change that.
Why would I change it? Would you like it to be? I thought you put it as that.
We can leave it. It's fine. I did put it that way. Felissa and I made an announcement for Spooky Empire back in November.
Uh-huh.
And I was Doofy and she was calling Doofy. So we put, oh, look, you just changed it. How'd you do that?
I am kind of like God.
You're cracking me up right now because you're like, I was doofy. Like,
nobody else. Somebody else. It was me this time. I was doofy.
Right. Sometimes I'm
doofy. I finally got to play doofy. It was me. I was so excited.
So I'm actually really excited to talk to you because, oh, wait, I'm so sorry. This is going to have to wait because arriving...
No.
Is the one and only Mr. Kane Hodder.
There we go.
Oh my. The myth, the legend. Hello, sir.
Where is he? In his car?
I'm in the garage.
So am I.
Have you been kicked out of your office already?
Well, I'm in LA now.
Hi.
Oh, welcome.
Welcome.
Are you
back
in my garage?
I had a picture I was going to put up behind me in the office of my good buddy, David Sheridan.
Oh.
I have that photo.
I don't want to see that photo.
You don't want
to? I want to hear
I love that photo.
I'll dig it up. I have to take this sweatshirt off.
No, on. I like it. You look so.
Oh, wait a second. I didn't know it was that kind of show. Suburban. What's going on here? We barely started. He's taking his clothes off. He just met me.
I'm sorry. It's sexy.
You
time
inspire it, Sheridan.
I thought somebody's getting like, hot. I got to take a call.
Oh my God. So we're sorry, listeners. You know, generally you log on and you're driving to work and you're listening to the soothing sounds of my voice getting you there to all things horror. And today you have gotten a lesson in Zoom etiquette and Kane Hodder searching his Los Angeles garage for a photo that you're not going to be able to see because you are on audio.
And wait, if you did see it, you're going to be horrified.
You're going to be terrified.
Would you like to try?
Could you please describe the photo for us, Kane?
Describe it? I have it right here.
Well, but well, I can see it, but what about the listeners?
There's people that are listening.
Well, it's signed by Mr. Sheridan.
That's right.
I signed it too, dude.
I got to turn this up. Hang on. It says, Kane, always a blast hanging with you. It's hard to say goodbye.
Sometimes.
With two nuts like us.
Oh, man.
I got to try and show you. Can I?
Yes. Just turn the face it to the camera. There you go.
Okay.
Up.
Show the whole thing. Don't show some.
That's about
trying
it.
To get a little reveal.
So I see a Felissa Rose in adult sleepaway camp body.
Yeah.
And a Dennis Sheridan in a camp counselor outfit. Oh, there's a penis.
Yeah, there's one.
Oh, there's two dicks. Two dicks.
Oh, well, no.
Oh, is that balls?
But then you have, let's see here. How do I do this and still look at it?
Well, why do you need to look at it so much?
Yeah,
right. Hey, why are you looking at this photo? So
why does
often?
That photo look so sticky?
Oh, you're fucking gross.
Hey, did you notice that I signed it to you as well?
I traveled well. Show. Yes, you did.
Oh, okay. Just asking. It's okay.
We really had a ball.
I asked Kane to hang that in his office because he has all those photos from One Life to Live or, you know, As the World Turns or whatever.
Days of Our Lives, fuckhead.
Yeah, they're all, Days of Our Lives.
That is
days
really
of the
days
week.
Of your lives. In that
weeks
photo.
Of the months. Weeks of the months.
So we were all in Victor Crowley together. How about that?
Oh, wow. This is a kind of a Victor Crowley reunion. This is great. Yeah.
It is. But I don't want to talk yet about Victor Crowley, Dave. I am actually super curious about this. We generally on the show have people that we've known for years and years and years, and we know most everything about them until they tell us some deep, dark secret. I don't know a lot about you except for what I've seen on TV. Like,
really?
I obviously have watched Scary Movie and Ghost World and, you know, you're super great and everything, but I want to know, how did you start? Because I feel like I heard it had something to do with like a comedy troupe or something like that. And it kind of went from there. Can you bring us to the beginning of that?
Oh my gosh. The beginning of
like a birth, like the birth canal. And
like, are you asking more on the professional side? Like when did my first professional gig start or when did Dave Sheridan start of this?
Now bring us back to kindergarten, Dave.
Yeah. Kindergarten would be good.
It was kindergarten. Actually it was preschool, but kindergarten. And she knows, you know the story, right, Felissa? Is that what you're
saying?
I was playing in kindergarten and we had these bleach bottles. It was Clorox bleach bottles that they would cut and they made it into, astronaut helmets.
Oh my God. That's so dangerous.
Yeah. Well,
that's public school. That is public school.
And this was the astronauts were big in 73, you know, everyone really drank Tang. We drank Tang then, you know what I mean? That was an actual drink. So I remember we were supposed to be cleaning up and I was like, well, I'm an astronaut. I can't clean up. And she said, they asked me what I wanted to be when I grow up. And I said, an astronaut. And she said, that's never going to happen. You're not astronaut material, but if you become an actor, you could play an astronaut on TV in a movie. And I was like, so I got to be an actor. And she's like, yes. And I was like, there you go. So that was my kindergarten teacher.
What was who was she?
Yeah.
Mrs. Because Hammond.
In love with her.
Mrs.
No, Hammond. No, no. That was another, because I had two kindergarten teachers. The other one was so the now, one I was
real in. Quick. Do you think back and is it like a, wow, F you for shattering that dream, Mrs. Tannen, or a, like, wow, I love you for inspiring this dream, Mrs. Tannen?
Yeah, it was Hammond, Mrs. Hammond.
Oh, Hammond.
But I respect her. I think it was kind of funny. I think it's interesting that kindergarten teachers or first grade teachers or even preschool can be really frank with you. And then as you get older, other adults are not frank with you. They're not as blunt. You know what I'm saying? So sure. I do respect that they're blunt. I wish people in business were that blunt. Like if they're passing on a script or you didn't get the role, tell me why. Don't be like, you were great. We really liked you. But, you know, it's like,
I don't agree with you though. You just said a very interesting thing. With adults, you can certainly say, you know, adults can handle the rejection. But I think as a child, to allow them to dream, like, you want to be an astronaut? That's so cool because it opens their brain to further learning rather than squash it, step on it, go do something else. I mean, I like that tip that maybe it started a new dream, but I do believe that you should always encourage children to dream big and keep their, you know, passions alive.
Yeah, wow, no, I'm not saying discourage him from dreaming big, but I respected the fact that she was frank with me, that she was on the surface.
Possibly have known that you couldn't have been astronaut material in kindergarten.
I know.
I mean, like what? Because you like fucked up on like saying the ABCs. Like,
I didn't learn to read until I was in fourth grade. I would tell you, I think some people might know that. Yeah. So I barely can read now, but I was faking it all the way until fourth grade. Then I finally,
that's smart.
But I don't actually know if that's prerequisite for, you know,
an astronaut. Yeah. I don't know, maybe, but I don't know. I think it was the time, 73, there was only 12 astronauts. So, you know, it's like today, yeah, now they're robots.
When you were talking to them, you weren't wearing those little shorts with anything hanging out, right?
Back then?
Yeah.
That's absolutely what I was wearing.
Yeah. Okay, that could have had a factor on why she put the kibosh on you.
So for years, like I have this kindergarten memory because clearly in kindergarten, I was a massive hoe bag. And I played I'll Show You Mine If You Show Me Yours at the Cubbies with Scott Siegel. And we got caught by Mrs. Glick, who then, you know, I think it was just more like, well, we don't do that, boys and girls, you know, our privates are our privates. But I was just like, he was like, what do you have? I'm like, I don't know, what do you have? And we showed each other our stuff. That was it. 5 years old.
Whoa. Like your vagina?
Yeah, I think it was like, what parts
do you have? Yeah, no, her boobs. Her size D boobs in kindergarten.
He doesn't have boobs, so yeah. I mean, he does, but he doesn't have.
Yeah, no, I think it was his little tiny Scott Siegel's wiener. Well, anyhow, for years, like, I remember that, like, weird. I don't remember the actual act of it, but I remember, like, talking about it. And then I remember, like, one of my friends knew about it, and it was, like, super embarrassed. So just recently, a couple months ago, a friend was like, blah, 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 blah. Hey, have you seen this kid? And I don't know anyone from those years. And I looked up this kid on Facebook and wrote something to him like, wow, we were just talking about you. What a long way since the kindergarten show and tell. This dude had no idea what I was talking about. Like, I seemed like a psychotic, crazy person that remembered this story. And yet for me, I thought he has like told this story to his children, you know, or has talked about it like I do. And no, not at all. I was not memorable to Scott Siegel.
So he didn't remember the show and tell.
Not
remember
at all. No.
Wow.
Depressing. It was like a real big fucking gut into my ego.
Do you remember that time that we... No, I don't actually.
No, it's like I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's really stayed with me all these years. I don't even know who you are.
Then I'm like, wait, maybe it wasn't him. So who was it? Mrs. Glick?
I was the same way, Tiff. I was like making out in preschool with like this little boy, Mike. So I was in love with, and I carried the baby doll around like, I'm the mommy, you're the daddy, and this is our baby. I couldn't wait to like have kids and get married.
What was Mike's last name?
I don't remember. I can picture his face perfectly. I always had the same type, like brown hair, and like he just had the cutest little face, and I would drag him around.
Making out with him.
You haven't changed a bit.
And I thought I was a hoe bag in kindergarten.
I loved kissing. I always loved kissing. I was always about the kissing. Is that weird?
Oh, can we go back to Dave Sheridan now, please? Dave. So yes. After Mrs. Harmond shattered your dream.
Yes.
Fast forward us to like Dave Sheridan.
Yeah. What got me here?
Yes.
So yeah, after I went to college for filmmaking and acting and stuff like that, fine arts. And then didn't do much in college. I just goofed off and partied a lot. But I did make short films and during then I interned at Saturday Night Live, but it actually goes back to, and I told Felicity this one. So I interned at CBS News for Paula Zahn. I was at her desk. Wow. And this was in college. And then also who was the anchor there at the time? It was
are you talking about Dan Rather.
Yeah. He used to bring me in his office and he would clip the ends of, he'd have that little like cigar clipper, you know, and light up a cigarette. And he would talk to me about journalism and, you know, the respect of journalism and how to adhere to it and all this. And I was just staring past him because I was like, I don't want to be a journalist. I just took an internship to take an internship. And I met the guy, his name was Steve. I don't know his last name, but I wanted to be a comedian. I wanted to be a comedic actor, filmmaker. And Steve was the art department. He was the art director for the CBS Evening News. And at the time it was the Operation Desert Storm. That was the war that was happening while I was working there. And so it was like 1989, 90. And basically I remember I was watching the news and these two jets came flying out. It was like, and they went like this. And then this Operation Desert Storm logo came with these timpanis. It was like, boom, 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 Operation Desert Storm. And I thought that was really funny that a war had this like Monday Night Football logo all of a sudden. I was like, this is new. I didn't know wars had logos. And I said, who did that? And they said, oh, that's Steve down in the, he does the graphic arts. And so I went and said, hey man, I saw your logo. I think that's really funny. I thought it was kind of cool. And he was like, it is funny, isn't it? They let that get passed. I thought I just grabbed jets. And so he was doing it kind of comedically. And I said, asked me what I wanted to do. And I said, well, I want to really, my goal is to go work at Saturday Night Live. And he said, well, my best friend is this guy, Herb Sargent, who was the producer of the Weekend Update section of Saturday Night Live. So they were both in the Writers Guild together. So the graphic arts people in New York belong to the Writers Guild East. So they're actually part of the Writers Guild. So that's how he knew Herb. And he said, do you want to work there? And I said, yeah, I really do. And he said, let me call Herb. And then the next day he came in and said, Herb said, give you a call, like, you know, call Herb and go in. So I went in and that was it. Yeah.
How long were you there?
A year. I was at SNL a year. It was, Kevin Nealon's first year at Weekend Update. Dennis Miller just left. So I was a part of the worst Weekend Update ever. Cause that was my job, working at Weekend Update, writing a lot of the jokes and getting a lot of the pictures. This was before the internet. So I would have to run all around town to go to AP and Getty and all the picture services to get all the slides from the newspapers and bring them back and scan them in and then try to come up with jokes. And then the writers would write jokes with me. And it was a lot of fun.
Well, awesome. Can I ask you, what was your favorite, you have to have a favorite joke or whatever the term is that you wrote for Weekend Update?
I think it was Dan Quayle. There was a picture of Dan Quayle with George Bush and I forget who else was in it. And I made like a Wizard of Oz joke where he was looking for his brain still or something like that. So, yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, Dan Quayle got some shit, didn't he?
He was an easy punchline. Dan Quayle was the easy one every time. Yeah.
So did you want to, I mean, because obviously scripted comedy is one thing. Were you into doing stand-up? Did you want to do any of that?
Well, that's funny you mentioned it because I didn't do any stand-up prior to this. I did... I did little short films, sort of like sketch stuff. So I wrote sketch videos when I was in college, and I showed them to a lot of the guys at Saturday Night Live, mainly this guy, Schiller, Robert Schiller. He made a lot of the short films for them. And Adam Sandler, this was Adam's there, and Chris Rock was there, and Chris Farley. That was that year of that. The year I was there was the year that Mike Myers made the first Austin, not the Austin Powers, the Wayne's World movie.
Oh, wow.
And they didn't know that was going to be a big hit. So they were actually shocked that it turned into a hit. I remember being there with everyone coming in and being like, my God, that was a hit. We have a hit movie. So, but Adam took me out to do stand-up comedy, and so did Chris Rock. They both took me out to open up for them in New York. Like, when I say open up, like, 5 minutes on stage while they were on stage. Like, they weren't really playing a big show either. They were like working a night, you know, it was like the New York Comedy Club. This guy named Lucian. I remember the guy's name was Lucian who ran it. And the funny part was I think he was going to let me continue to do stand up there if I played for the softball team, if I was actually good. And I was sort of honest that I was like, yeah, I don't know if I can play softball right now. Like, I didn't know that was like a, and I told that to Adam. He's like, well, why did you tell him you'd play on the softball team? You know, like, so I learned something business wise that you have to.
You say yes. Down. Yeah.
You say yes.
Yeah. Always say yes. Exactly.
I wonder if for him, that was like, you know, people that want colleagues that play golf, you know what I mean? It's like, you just want people that do the same thing you do. Yeah.
Well, I think they had a really serious softball team, but most stand-up comedians are not athletic. So I probably could have gone, I could have had a career, I guess.
Can
I say one thing really quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
I came back after going out with Chris Rock that night, and they said, oh, how'd you do? And I said, oh, it was terrible. And Chris Farley said, well, he asked me, he's like, well, what's your routine? And I said, well, I do these like I do different characters, and I do like commercial spoofs and things like that. And he said, oh, it sounds like you should go to Second City. That's where he came from, because they do sketch comedy and they do characters. I'd never even heard of it. And so I said, that sounds interesting. And then he made a phone call to this woman named Joyce Sloan, who ran the Second City at the time. She discovered John Belushi. That's her big, one of her big claims of fame, is sort of discovering him out of Cook County College, community college. And so that's it. He made a phone call, just like that guy Steve called.
Oh my God, Dave!
You had Farley called Joyce, and then I got hired at Second City in Chicago. And I that's why I left Saturday Night Live. I was there a year, and then I went to Second City.
So wait, so you like were just a performer at Second City, or did you?
I did everything.
You have to go through their classes there first, or
it starts out where there's like a 5 levels of training.
It's so like the groundlings, same sort of thing. And then
I got kicked out. I got kicked out at the first level. I was kicked out.
Why?
And the guy that ran the guy that ran the school, his name was Martin DeMont. And there was also a lot of political stuff was happening. If people are watching this and I mention your names, I think we've already spoken. It's been 30 years. So there's no like, if I say stuff, there's no hard bad feelings at all. But there was a guy named Kelly Leonard who was hired to take over Second City. He was the new young gun. And Joyce retired. She had a heart attack. So after she hired me in May, in June, it was like June 7th, she had a heart attack. I wasn't coming out until August. I was like, oh, I'll be out at the end of the summer. And in that between, she was like, she was retired. She was still there, but she was not active anymore. I mean, this lady was 75 at the time already. And she founded the Second City with Ed Asner and Alan Arkin and Alan Alda. I mean, these are amazing people. So she was edged out. I was hired, but Kelly Leonard, he didn't hire me. So he kind of had a little like, who, you know, I was Joyce's last hire. And he was like, who are you? And then I started the training classes, and I worked in the ticket booth. So you work your way up there. I was in the ticket booth and also washing dishes, and I was in the training classes. And I told you, I do these characters and I make short films. So I made a short film, like in my first month, of my teacher, Martin DeMott, who I played him. And I made a funny film of him going out to homeless people and giving them hugs and doing improv with homeless people. And it was all out in reality. And he didn't shy. He didn't like it. He didn't like me making fun of him.
Oh,
and
so, Dave.
Yeah. So I was canned out of the training part of it. Like, but I still worked there because I was Joyce's hire and they really couldn't get rid of me. It was almost that thing of they wanted to make it as hard as possible on me.
Oh,
and
Jesus.
There was a guy named Mick Napier who had another, he was fired from Second City and he formed a company called the Annoyance Theater. And so everyone said, you got to go see Mick because he got fired too and he'll love you. And so I went over there and he was kind of he was sort of the Troma and John Waters version of Second City because Second City was trying to get all khaki and doing like industrials for Motorola. And he was doing like, you know, co-ed sluts meets the Brady Bunch. That's where all those like the Brady Bunch musical and all that stuff came out of the Annoyance in Chicago. Yeah.
So that's where you ended up.
What?
So, are you going to ask something?
I was going to say that ironically, because we talked about my stint on Days of Our Lives for quite a few years, I had to play softball on their team on the Days of Our Lives softball team. And we had a fucking amazing team. We would play in these city leagues and just beat everyone because I think Ken Corday, part of his casting process for actors had something to do with their ability to play softball because he loved the fact that our team was all actors and we beat everyone. And he put me at catcher. And, you know, there's not much to do at catcher in softball other than being in collisions at home, you know, trying to tag somebody out. And Corday loved the fact that I would just smash into people and get in altercations at the plate and all kinds of stuff like that. So I played for quite a few years.
That's amazing.
Basically what we're taking away from this entire interview is that it's all about who you know and how well you do in sports.
Yes.
And if you do well, you're going to go far, baby.
That's right.
But I'm really good at softball and I think Kane, we should start a horror softball. And we could play against the sci-fi people. We could play against, you know, comic book
people. The rom-coms.
Carradine, because clearly we know he's not any good. So
no, I'm good.
Now you're good?
I'm very good.
He never said he wasn't.
Yeah.
Oh, you just didn't embrace it.
No, yeah, because
he didn't say yes.
That was the problem.
He was like, I don't feel like doing it.
He asked me about the softball. Like, literally, I just got off stage. And they had a little interview with me and he said, would you play for our softball team? I was like, well, I don't know. I was living in New Jersey and it was a 45 minute bus ride to Midtown, you know, through the Port Authority. It was about 45 minutes. And I would always have problems because the buses would stop at 11:30 at night. And if I got stuck there, I'd have to stay in 30 Rock. I would sleep on a couch until the next morning. So it was all like, I wasn't a New Yorker. So when he was asking me to come play softball, I thought, oh, this is just going to be that much more complicated. Do I need to do this? So
always say yes. So then what happened? Is that when you created Chip? Is that like the beginning of Chip?
Yeah, Chip and other characters like that were all at Second City. Yeah.
Okay.
Because, yeah, so I was kind of pushed out of the Second City regular path. And so one of the pathways I had at Second City was to create my own show. And I followed that from another guy named Joe Liss. There's an actor named Joe Liss. And he was at Second City and he had a one-man show. So there's improv at Second City with the regular, you know, like five people, an ensemble. But they do have people doing one-man shows, one-woman shows. And so I said, let me do this. And the difference was I saw his one man show and he played different characters, but they would go and play music while he was trying to change. And I was making videos, but they didn't have any TVs in the theater. So I went to them and said, if I go and buy you TVs and like make your theater now have multimedia, will you give me a one man show? And the owner his name was Andrew Alexander, was the owner of Second City. So he's not dumb. He's that was like, I'm going to modernize this theater. So he gave me a one-man show. It ran for 3 months.
Excellent. I could show you. Bribe people.
Yeah.
With gifts. Okay.
Play sports.
Exactly. And I did play softball. I did play on the softball and football team for Second City. Just to let you know, Chicago softball is different. They don't play with gloves. They play with a bigger ball.
What?
And it's all bare hand. Yeah.
Really?
And the ball has to hit. A strike is when it bounces on the plate. Yes. So you lob it up, and then if it hits the plate, it's a strike.
And is it not an extended size plate also?
No, the plate, I think the plate was normal.
Wait. But really? So these are specially made giant baseballs?
Softball. They're even soft. Yeah, they're a little bit bigger.
I'm looking
Chicago softball's a little. I've only seen this in that town. I haven't seen it anywhere else, but they don't play with gloves. They play, you hit it and it's a little softer because you can catch it with your hands completely. So
holy crap, that thing is huge.
Oh, did you look it up?
Wait.
Yeah.
Okay, there it is. Yeah.
That's giant. Oh my God. All right. Well, since my kid is not into catching anything, I'm going to send him to Chicago. You can catch that.
That's like Sheridan's ball, though.
So I want to get you to.
We can go back to my balls or down there.
I want to get you to California, like where you ended up doing, like the crossover from the comedy to the horror world is what I'm mostly interested in. Because like before you were on, Kane, we were talking about how we always talk on this show about how I believe genre people are the funniest people. And that kind of those two worlds just go hand in hand. And Dave's like the perfect example. So how get me that. Like, what was first? Was it Rejects, Scary Movie? Like, how did all that happen?
Yeah, well, it does all play in the Second City, because while I was there doing that one-man show, I did multimedia where I played the characters in reality, and then I would do them on stage. So you'd see me playing a character on stage, and then it would finish off in a video, or it would start in the video, and I would come out on stage as a character. But that gave me time to change into the characters, and so people would watch that. But then I also had those videos, and so my show ended in Chicago. It ended, and the owner of the Second City said, "Do you want to do a pilot with your characters, like hidden camera stuff?" Because I was doing them out in public. The characters were out in public. It wasn't really hidden camera. It was just like less exposed cameras. My camera guys would hang back a little bit while I would mess around with people. And we made a pilot called Dave Sheridan's America. And they shopped it around, and they shopped it to Fox. They shopped it to MTV, and MTV, they both wanted it. But MTV came to me and said, "We want to do your show, but we don't want to work with Second City. And so when does your contract expire?" And I said, "I have another 9 months that they have an option and a contract with me for this pilot." So then MTV said, "We're going to give you a development deal for 1 year while you're waiting for that option to expire. Then after that year, we'll pick up that show. So where do you want to go?" And I came from New York, New Jersey. They said, "You can go to New York offices, or you can go to our California offices." I said, "Well, I want to go to California." It was like a free trip to California. So I went there and had a 1 year contract with MTV. What I didn't know was there was no MTV offices in California. They didn't really tell me that. I was the new MTV office in California. Now it's actually their main offices. I was the first one. I told Felicia where that was. It was on Victory and
North Hollywood, right?
It was North. I was by the Macy's in that mall.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like Den Avenue and Victory. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Near the old Sears kind of area.
But it's funny the way you describe, like, when you got there, it was like, what? Just you.
It was just me and some boxes. And
was there
eventually
a desk?
They moved me.
Did you have a desk or like anything, like a pen?
I had a desk, but I had to bring my own pen. And I had to borrow. I had to go down the hall to ask for a Xerox machine from another company. So, And so it was fun. I took those videos and then from Second City, and I cut a reel together. And she knows this. Chip was one of my characters I did on the live show at Second City. His name is Chip. And he became Doofy because the Miramax people saw Chip. They saw the video of Chip. And they said, that guy can be Doofy. We can make that Doofy. So they brought me in, and that's what became Doofy. So Scary Movie was the first really big thing.
Did you have to audition for that, or did you get cast just off of the reel?
It was kind of both. It was the Weinsteins, they wanted me off of the tape. So I was kind of good there, but I had to get approved by Keenan Ivory Wayans, who was the director writer of Scary Movie. So I went in, and I thought it would be funny. You have to understand, I didn't do a lot of auditions yet in my whole career. I did a couple, but I never did that many. And so I didn't know the etiquette of the way really auditions should be. So since it was a pre-established character and they loved him so much, I said, let me just go in as Chip. So Chip was this like Hulk Hogan. He loved Hulk Hogan. I had Hulk Hogan head to toe. I still have all that stuff. It's up in my attic right now. Everything's up in the attic. Every time someone asks, by the way, it's like, well, can you have this, that? But I went in, it's all Hulk Hogan gear, Hulk Hogan hat, Hulk Hogan shirt, Hulk Hogan jacket. And I'm playing what you guys know as Doofy, where it's like, And I went in, and I didn't do the lines. I just played around with Keenan. I asked him, I was trying to high five him. He's based on a character, a guy I knew in my neighborhood called Bruce. And Bruce would always go up with his fingers and where they at. He'd hold them up in your nose and he'd say, give me five. And it just smelled like poop. And that's kind of where that smell my finger thing came from in Scary Movie, because I was doing that to Keenan. I'm like, yeah, give me five. And he was like, oh, what the hell? And I said, I was, you know, yeah, it's good. I didn't really do the lines. And then I left. And this was before cell phones. I had a pager. And I remember driving away going, that went really well. I think he really enjoyed it, because they were laughing, but they were kind of looking at me weird. And I got a pager from New York. So I went to the payphone, you know, and it's like, you got to get your quarters. And do you guys remember payphones at all?
Yeah, of course.
So you have to hold them like this. And they said, what did you do? And I was like, what are you talking about? They go, we just got a call from Keenan and he's freaked out. He thinks we sent in this mentally disabled person. What did you do? And I was like, no, I went in as the character. And they're like, no, you need to go back right now as yourself. They are freaking out. They're very nervous what they just happened.
Wow.
And so then I drove back and I came in as myself and they were laughing. They said that was really like remarkable. We thought you were actually that person. And and then Keenan said, listen, you got the role. We're going to have a table read. And we're going to have like a cast, like the rest of the cast is going to get together. We're going to take photos like to get the full cast together. And he said, I want you to come back as Chip. You got to come back to the cast read as that character. So I did the same thing. And again, everybody was all nervous until he was like, no, that's not really him. And then everybody said, oh my God, that's great. When we shoot the movie, you need to show up as the character and then the crew. And so I did it again. It's like I kept doing it multiple times. So I'm like, are we done? Are we through everybody? You know, like, no, when we do the premiere, you need to show up as
the
character.
That was going to be my next question, whether the Doofy name was from you or from them. And
that was them. My character's name was Chip. And, right. And yeah, Doofy was for them a play on Dewey, because Dewey was the
and can I say one thing? When we were in Charlotte at Mad Monster a couple weekends ago, and Dave came by my table, just, you know, talking and hanging out, and he did a few lines as Doofy.
Right.
And you should have seen the people standing in front of my table just like, oh my God, that is amazing. All the fans were like getting a free show when they didn't expect it. And they were just amazed. And one of them said, hey, he has to come back as that. No, I'm not. I'm not but they were really entertaining.
To what a great character actor you are, Dave. And this isn't just like the one and only time that you portrayed a character where people were fascinated and didn't really know whether it was you or not. Every time I do a convention with Dave, bar none, they had no idea that he was in Victor Crowley. They're like, what? They have no idea he was in Ghost World. Huh? They have no idea he was in any of the films he's done, because he completely immerses himself in these people, like where you can't even really find him. I did a movie with him called Killer Rose, and we play the worst of enemies. I hated him so much that the fucking second day I said, I texted him, don't you fucking come near me. I don't even know what I wrote. I was livid. And he was like, I think she sent the text to the wrong person. But he was so brutal in that film that it even put me off as his friend. I was like, ugh, so aggravated. Right, Dave?
Yeah, no. That was
we got past it, but it
that,
was hard.
That character's, or that film is coming out in April, right? End of April. You right. did. I remember she texted me. She was angry. But she was also producing, you know, so she, you know, she's producing, she's starring in it. And her role, Killer Rose, was a big role for yourself. A big, you know, it was a step in something you haven't done before. Yeah. Yes. And so I knew you were under a lot of pressure, but I don't think that was, I probably deserved the text. I did. I'm going to tell you guys that I did. No. But when she texted me, I've never had her chew my head off on a text before. You know, you might have chewed my head off in person, but I never had that. And it was like 7 a.m. or 7:30, and I was dying. I had this cane, I had these big mutton chop like things on my side, but I had to dye them, you know. So I'm sitting there with that Just for Men 5-minute dye thing, and this thing comes through and it's all over my fingers. I'm like, oh, what do I do? I was like, I can't answer her, because I thought maybe she meant somebody else, and I don't want to embarrass her that she sent this thing that was so livid and angry. But at the same time, I go, but I also know if she is angry at me, my text is not going to help. Like, whatever I say back on the text is not just, correct. I'm just going to ignore it and maybe it'll go away. But it worked for our characters. It did. That's the one thing. So
that's great. Did with the doofy thing, because I don't know, I'm just like really enamored by the fact that you went in a character and they bought it and loved it. Did David Arquette, have you gotten to meet him since portraying?
Yes, I've met David twice. And we're friends on Twitter. Like we message each other on Twitter, or technically he's messaged my, the guy that runs my Twitter, but so they're really good friends now. I'm just kidding. I'll tell you the one time I actually went up and approached him. After, by the way, when I first moved to LA, I lived on it was Gower. It was just off of Melrose, Gower Street. My neighbors were the Arquettes. So Alexa still lived there, but it was the house they grew up in.
Wow.
So the next door.
Well, for those of you guys
that
don't know, Scary Movie was, well, you describe it to us, like what the connection between David Arquette is and Doofy.
Well, I'm spoofing Dewey from Scream, but I'm doing it in such an extreme way because it's not really, I'm not playing him. I'm playing a pre-existing character. I already did Chip.
And Dewey was played by David Arquette in a really funny way too. He did a great job in Scream. Like, I loved that character.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But I wasn't, my portrayal of Doofy was not in any way a slight to David. You know what I mean? It was not meant to be that way.
The whole movie's a spoof. That's the, you know, the genre of that film is that you're
right.
It's caricatures of everyone. It's funny.
Yeah. You shouldn't be upset over it, but I would say I kind of sense he probably was a little bit upset with my performance. And I did see him. He directed a movie called Tripper. I think it was called Tripper. Do you guys remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Paul Rubens was in it. It was kind of like they're doing like a Woodstocky kind of thing in 1984. They all start to take a bunch of acid, and a guy in a Ronald Reagan mask is the killer, and he's killing all these people at a camp concert type thing. And so he was there at the premiere, and he's wearing this white suit covered in blood. It had like blood all over it. And he was almost like a wedding. He was doing like a meet and greet on the red carpet. Everyone that came, he would take a photo with, and say, oh, thanks for coming, you know? And like, so he was actually standing on the red carpet as we were, you know, and I was like a VIP celebrity guest. And I came up and I went, hey Dave, I didn't even get to say my name. I just went, hey Dave, he went, I know who you are. I know who you are. And that was it. And it was just like, he was like, like staring through me. He just wanted to bite my head off. And I was like, oh, okay. So you know who I am. Great. And just took the photo and went. So
that's so weird. Yeah. So weird.
But forgive my ignorance. Who is Alexis? Him?
That's his sister / brother.
Okay. Cause I worked with him.
Yep.
As a male on Children of the Corn.
Right.
Okay.
He was, you know, still identifying as a man.
Yes.
But
cool.
Yeah. And interesting. Wow.
How was that? How was Children of the Corn and, or the Arquettes, was only Alexis there? Or
yeah,
did
just Alexis. Yeah. And I mean, it was a fun movie because I did a lot of big stunts in it, but
sure.
You know, and then I worked with Sheridan on Devil's Rejects too. So
that's right.
Yeah. How did that come about?
And that was my real, so when Rob Zombie cast me from the Red Hot Chili Pepper videos. If you go ask Rob where he knew me from, I was in these Red Hot Chili Pepper videos and he knew me as that character, or Ghost World. It's the same in Ghost World. I played the same character.
I was going to say, wouldn't it be because of Ghost World, right?
Right. So he brought me in, we had a meeting and the rest is history. I play that character Dobson. And that's Kane. Was that the first time you and I met each other?
It might've been. Yeah.
Yeah.
But so when you met Zombie, like, are you a genre fan? Were you a genre fan then? Or was it like, oh, this is just a cool movie?
Yeah. When you say genre, you mean horror?
Yeah, sorry. Horror movies.
I would say I think everyone's a fan of horror. Everyone has a one or two horror movies that they like. But then there's a fan of the horror genre. Or somebody that's a student of it, or somebody that understands it or knows the history. I was not that at all. I didn't know Kane. I didn't know what Kane's history was when I met him. I was fascinated by it. I think actually meeting him on Devil's Rejects, it's an interesting way to meet him, because he was so professional. You know what I mean? He was our stunt coordinator.
It's what a shocker. Like,
well, that's, you know, because it's like a caring guy that's like looking out for your safety. He's doing stunts. He's making sure everyone understands it, versus most people know him as Jason, the guy that's going to go freaking kill people, versus the guy that's out to protect you, you know? So
see, that goes to show that you guys were on like a big budget movie and you guys weren't friends yet, because what we got with Kane was, oh, stunts. Kane's going to be our stunt coordinator. It's like, oh, great. 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 Great.
Hey, you know, we're selling the house, right? The Calabasas house. And I'm going through my garage of 25 years. And I came up with this in my...
Oh,
nice.
And I believe it's the badge I wore.
That is.
The sheriff's officer in Devil's Rejects.
That is. That is that one.
Now we'll be sold at Mad Monster Party for... $4,000.
I might have to buy it. I might have to take a screen. Wait, I should. Can you hold that up again? I'm going to take a screen grab. Oh, I really do want to see that. Please
text it to Rob and say.
That's yeah. That's all right, really did it. I'll and tell then, you. How a lot you of people don't
how to
know
do a screen grab.
How many scenes are you in? I know you're in the one where we're taking them all out. We got Mother Firefly yanking her out and. Yeah. You know, after the aftermath.
I think only that scene.
Right.
Where there's so many more cops.
Yeah.
And
when it's the cops on our side shooting, you were actually shooting at us with the, you had the, that little salt gun or something. You were like, do you remember that?
No. I was shooting to make shots look like they were close to you guys.
Yeah. It was like the paintball gun, but it was the salt. And
oh, you know what? I do remember that now. I totally forgot about that.
He's like, he was getting into it way more. You know what I mean? It's like he's shooting at us. You know, it's like kind of like we don't have any real bullets. He has things. It's like he's like, gotta watch your eyes, man. Gotta watch your eyes.
Kane, did you do stunts on corpses as well? House of 1,000 Corpses?
No.
No. So you're just brought on to Rejects.
Yeah, Rob, you know, enjoyed some of my stuff in the past and thought it'd be fun to work together. And we got along great and it had a good time on that movie. I'm not sure what happened after that, but I never did anything else with him. So,
well, what's really fun is that we all worked with you as our stunt coordinator on Victor Crowley.
I was just thinking that. That's an interesting thing too, because there's not a lot of, I would say we're in unique territory where the actual main killer, the guy that's in the mask, you know, the entire thing and the amount of time it takes to get into that is also your stunt coordinator. You know what I mean? The guy that's, the guy that's like overseeing the sinking. Oh, let me like, remember Tiffany, you know how the water was sinking and the whole thing was sinking. Well, the two things was that Kane is actually just jumping up and down and pushing that thing down more. He didn't really care about
you. Oh my God, what a conflict of interest.
It's he like, also had to pee. Do you remember the time he had to pee and he peed upstream?
Even it makes me wonder every time I log on to these Zoom Casualty Fridays, I'm like, you know, what am I doing? That's not a friend.
Like, that's not a friend.
I could have died that day and got a kidney infection like Felissa.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah. Pee in the water. We did talk about it.
Pee in the water. It was a big pond. It was a big pond.
Yeah. It was
a big pond.
It was a stagnant pond. So healthy.
We definitely had a lot of fun, the four of us, on that film.
We did. How did you get that gig? Were you friends with Adam? Did Adam just, was he a
fan? Are you asking me?
Yeah.
Or the rest of you?
You, Sheridan.
You.
I was bugging Adam. Yeah, I met Adam in 2000, I'm going to say 2007. So it wasn't that long, probably around there. When did he do Frozen? I think he...
2010 it premiered.
Yeah, it was way before Frozen though. So I was friends with Adam. I think you guys all know how an Adam friendship goes. It's like you're on his podcast or you're talking with him, but he likes to talk. So, and I like to talk. So I'd go over to his pad and we would just hang out for hours and just chat.
Talk?
And, talk about talking.
I would actually love, it's like a talk off.
Yeah,
it'd be a lot of talking.
It's fun. It's a lot of fun. And
and so the part was written for you, clearly, in Victor Crowley. Like,
that's what he said. That's what he said.
I believe it. I mean,
but I also saw, you know, it could have been written for Brad Pitt. Maybe. I don't
know. No, but those are all the parts Kane gets. All of Brad Pitt's throwaways are.
Understandably.
Yeah. I mean, you are a sex god.
Wow.
Yeah, it was great. And I know he wrote the role for Felissa, for her role, based on when she did
it was my New York manager. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Of course. It had nothing to do with me, all the pill popping, ditzy, crazy, nothing at all.
Annoying. No, nothing.
I don't know if you guys knew this, but like, were we all there for that read-through? I don't remember. It was Kane. Kane wasn't a part of the read-through. Were you there part of the table read?
No.
Probably not, no.
Yeah.
We each had a candle. Remember
what should
that?
He have been there to go,
Tiffany, were you at the table read?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so but you were there in person, right?
What's funny is I don't remember you being at the table read.
No,
he was on the laptop and Q was on the laptop.
That's
and
right.
The rest of us. And let's set the stage here. Adam does the most amazing read-throughs with his cast because he has the entire Arescope dimly lit.
It's really cool.
And then each character has a candle with their character name on it. And the candle is lit and you sit in your seat. And then when your character dies, you blow out your candle. So I thought that was super amazing. Like
it's
really
pretty cool. Like the mood is really awesome. Like you really feel like you're making something kind of special. And everyone was really excited. And I do remember that you guys were on Zoom. Everybody seemed to just vibe in like a really great way. And
the energy in the room was just fantastic. We couldn't believe it. We were making this movie in secret.
And so I remember
I'll tell you my take really quick on it was, I was in North Carolina at the time. And when he sent the script and he said, I wrote this for you. I read like maybe the first 25 pages of the script and I really jumped actually, I just jumped right to my role. Like, oh, let me read Dylan. And I was like, it did feel very Dave. And I was like, this is going to be great. I'm going to kill it. And I called him. I said, yeah, dude, I'm in. And he goes, great. I'll let you know. We're going to do a table read. So I never read the script. I didn't read the script the rest of the way. I go, oh, we're doing a table read. I told you I'm not a very good reader. So I said, this is great. They'll read it to me. And I'll just read along as we read. And I went to go print the script because I did want a paper script.
Wait,
and
the
little toner things.
Read it to you.
Well, when you're at the table read, it's like group read. And I don't, you know, I just have to read my lines.
I'm digging that. I like it.
But
you meant we were all like there to read.
No, no. So as we're reading it, I realized, you know me, I'm a procrastinator. I didn't go to print it until like 30 minutes before the table read, and there was no cartridge ink in the, because it was one of those printers that takes like a magenta.
Oh,
so I had to send my wife out to CVS, go get these things. And we were able to print like 10 pages. She ran to CVS while we're on, she's printing, and this thing is going so slow. It's like a news reporter. She didn't want to be in the frame, so she's handing the script like underneath as it's coming up and getting printed. And I'm reading along. And so everything except for that first scene of Dylan was completely blind. I was just reading it and reading lines and everything. And I was trying to get ahead to like, so I wouldn't flub my lines too much. But the one thing I didn't know, because Adam said, oh man, you're kind of a jackass character, but it's really good. You're the hero at the end and you kill him. You kill the bad guy. But I didn't know that can we give away spoiler alerts?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't know that I died. I didn't know that I died the way I died until I literally opened the next page and it went, Dylan, you know, runs at Victor Crowley and tackles him into the airplane engine. And because he had the Danielle Harris stuff, he cut that script. That's where it ends, right there.
I know.
If you remember that,
it's just coming back. Because of that.
Yeah.
It just ended. The script ended right there. And I thought my wife screwed up the printer. Like I was like, so when it happened, everyone laughed because I went, wait, I die? I went, wait, I die? And everyone was laughing, like, oh, he's such a kidder. You know, and I was like, no, this isn't right. And I go, did it print right? Did it print okay? I thought the printer stopped. Like, I was like, what's going on? So, yeah.
That's funny.
Hilarious. That's the worst though. And like, I am for Adam Green, Save the Yorkies, that we've all done parts for him over the years. There's always a live script reading. And I've been asked to be a part of him a couple times. And last year's, we had, our last year sucked. And so I said I was going to do it. And I really wanted to do it because I needed that kind of change of pace, you know, from what was going on in our home life. And but I didn't read the script. And so I got there and it was one of that same sort of shit. And I'm like, oh fuck, I'm actually the bad guy. Like, wait, what? Like trying to change and act like I meant to do it. Not recommended to actors. Not recommended.
Yeah. You definitely need to be prepared. And I would say that Kane wasn't really a part of this because of his character. Victor Crowley was, you know, and I think we all know this. I don't know if people know this, when he gets into Victor Crowley and he's got the music on, he sort of keeps his distance and gets into that zone. I didn't want to fuck with you too much. I did though. I did want to fuck with you, but I didn't. I didn't, you know, I did, but I didn't. I figured
Dave,
like,
it's a motherfucker.
I know. Exactly. That's
well, it's
why.
It's funny. Like Dave, you know what? I felt like I always feel the same way. Cause like I joke around with these guys all the time. And yet I've never worked with Kane when Kane's been in makeup like that. And so like, we know when we did like Sickle together, you're not in makeup and I could just fuck around with you. But I really wanted to on Victor Crowley as well. But then I'm like, but I don't know what headspace you're getting into. And like, what a dick move if you're like getting super into character and I walk up and fuck it up. But like, I want to so bad because I've known you for so long.
It's so scary.
Right.
Like, you know, when your death is called, and I've said this before on the podcast, and he's off, not too far away, you can, you know, see him and he's grunting and angry. It's like, dude, you're not really supposed to kill me. My death scene, I felt like he was poking me in the ass with a stick. I was like, oh my God.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, but, and.
Was it a stick?
It wasn't a stick. Yeah. big thick stick. But part of my
brittle old stick.
It was dark.
Oh my God. My reasoning for keeping the distance, doing all the growling and the roaring, it's to get my energy up. Yes. But I also entertain myself a little bit knowing that somebody's watching me.
Yeah.
And they see it's their death scene coming up. And I look like I'm fucking nuts.
Yeah.
Also, not only entertains me, but I think, well, maybe it helps their performance too. I don't know.
It yeah. does.
Oh, it
I
sure
was
does.
Crying yeah. when they, and it, you know, they're like, pour the water on the mud. And I'm in high heels. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? You know, it's scary. It definitely lends itself to that whole horrific moment of right before you, you know, do those crazy things you do, babe.
What do you have going on now, Dave? Like what's coming up for you? I know you and Felissa have a movie coming out, Killer Rose.
Yeah. I think you got to talk to my manager. I'm pointing here because I don't know where she's, I feel like we're on the Brady Bunch.
You got to go up, point up.
She's up.
Yep. She's up.
She's in the yeah. right spot. Hold on.
Well,
yeah. Online's is down. Yeah.
Well, I will say I feel like I've been on the Dave Sheridan, Felissa Rose tour because we have a lot of conventions and signings that we're doing together. We'll be in Vegas this weekend, March 13th at Tom Devlin's museum from 12 to 4 in Vegas.
Did Is I say this going to be Vegas? On before then? Will this be on?
Yeah. It'll be on Friday the 12th. Friday. So when you hear this, listen to the podcast and drive to Vegas to see us at Devlin's Monster Museum.
Yeah. Can I, it's two seconds, yeah. 1 second to step out and show you this then.
Okay.
Because I don't know if Kane ever saw this because, so this is the mask. This is the real mask here.
Mask, from, describe it to us.
Oh, you can't, this is the scary movie, man. This is my ghost face mask. And there's only, this is a hand painted, hand molded. It's got my name etched in the back of it.
Because
I was in it. This is the screen worn one. I wore in every shot. I'm only not in the mask in two shots. Running from the, and you know, being a stunt coordinator, it was two stunts they didn't let me do. There was a piano, a real piano on a cable, but I had to run down the stairs and they were worried about me tripping on the road. So they had a stunt guy for that. And then there was a scene where I get kicked through a window, and that was a one and done special because they had to blow this giant window out, and they, that was a one shot deal. So they put a stunt guy in that. But the rest of the movie is me in the robe and the thing. So at Tom Devlin's Monster Museum this weekend, he has the robe, the gloves, the knife already there. I didn't want to let him travel with the mask. I'm going to drive it there. But that's going to be on display now for like the next 6 months. Mm-hmm. So if you come this weekend, you'll be able to see me and Felissa, and I'll be as Doofy, and you'll be able to get photos of the new exhibit.
You're going
to
be Doofy?
The ghost face. Yeah.
All right, good.
Nice.
Okay, thanks so much. And we'll be at the Sideshow Market at the end of February, and we'll be at Days of the Dead Chicago, and we'll be at Days of the Dead Vegas in May.
Any movies coming up, Dave?
Yeah, there is a, we have what's it called? Cold-Blooded Killers now. That's out.
Cold-Blooded Killers, which was originally Killer Rose.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
That's out in April. And then there's Massacre a movie I'm really Academy. Excited about called, what was that?
Massacre Academy.
Yeah, Massacre Academy. The trailer is going to be coming out in April. That's a really cool film. That
Dave is unbelievable in this movie. Honestly, I think to date, this is his best work. I was, and I speak for myself, the cast, the crew. We were watching with just like, I can't even explain the it was very Jeffrey Dahmer, and it was terrifying. I'd never seen Dave so serious and so maniacal and evil, and it was quite terrifying. Yeah.
Did you know, do you produce that, Felissa?
No, I'm just an actress. I play Hannah Goldman, the news anchor who's trying to catch him.
So we have Jeffrey Dahmer.
There must be a thing. I have a thing where I'm a killer with news women. I must have
right.
Yeah.
Like killer news fetish.
That's kind of weird.
I don't know what it is. But I am excited about it. It's going to be something.
Similar thing.
Sorry. You do?
I am a killer with women and men. Doesn't matter the profession.
Oh, there you go.
Just in general. Wow, you guys are so much alike.
Yeah. I feel like I'm a killer with kids, like Camp Twilight and Sleepaway Camp. There's several where I'm an adult killing children.
In Return to Sleepaway Camp. I'm like, you were a kid in Sleepaway Camp.
But I mean, I killed kids. Yeah. I'm saying I'm a killer who kills kids. Yeah.
And if I could say one final thing before we wrap it all up, because just to sort of bookend what Tiffany was talking about in terms of someone like myself, when I do the comedy where it's so zany and funny, but then I can also be so crazy and sort of psycho at the same time. And they really are very similar. You kind of tap in. It's, you know what it's about? It's, you cannot be, and this is what Keenan said to Anna Faris, on her, that she was just turning 18 when we shot Scary Movie, but you have to be, you can't be, there's no like, you just got to let it out there. You got to, you know, you can't be restrained and you can't be humble. You've got to be able to just go to the extreme in who you are. You know, there's no shyness in it. So I think with comedy, like Kane just showed that thing where I have my, you know, like just a fraction of my penis coming out. I mean, it's very, very little.
Was that for every photo op?
Oh my gosh. No, it was not. You know what? The thing about Dave, because he and I are best friends. The thing about Dave is, and when it comes to me, he always has to, like, one up me. Like, her dick's up, my dick's going to be out. It's like, it whatever I do, he's going to up it. And everybody, no one's talked about my photo op, but they've talked about Dave's dick.
So well, now maybe you have to come dressed as Doofy, like Doofy number two.
For Joe Bob Briggs' thing, and he made me my own Doofy.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, but I'd love to be the real Doofy and be like the dude Doofy. I don't want to be
Felicia. Do not let Sheridan try to one up me with your cell phone kill.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
You might try to put something else in.
No one could ever take that.
I kind of don't know why you two who do so many conventions don't have that photo op ready, like with the cell phone, with Kane, with Felicia, like. Where you can have your own hand up there too. Like, I think you guys, people would pay top dollar.
You'd have to have the makeup.
Top dollar.
We'll have to talk to Tom Devlin about it, right?
Yeah, you need that. Yeah. So it would be somebody's like real arm, but your face, I don't know how you would do it, but I think it'd be amazing. But Dave,
it's kind of easy. So, like, you just do that and I'll put a hand, you know.
I love it. Dave, thank you for coming on our show. I know that we all
thanks,
love you.
Dave.
This has been
thanks, David.
Fun and informative. And thank you all for listening to this crazy episode. Please remember to hit subscribe so we can keep bringing on more amazing guests. So like Dave Sheridan, we probably have Dave Sheridan on again because there's so much more of that career that we haven't touched on. And we'll catch you guys next time on another mind-numbingly informative episode of Podcast.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.